נצטרך לקח מזכיר. Amen. Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Not that anyone needs a reminder, but please, please. be part of every single program that's happening today. Really worked hard at making the program. The only way I can tell it to you is that to me this is like Yom Kippur. The type of catharsis and kedusha and tahara that you'll feel. And it's hard to feel it when you're in Chutz La'aretz, but when you're at the base of Alamin, you'll see, you'll feel it. So please, go to the presentation, go to the cemetery, go to everything that's happening today. But getting back to the 48 facilitators of Talmud Torah, yesterday we spoke about listening, which seems like a passive activity, but we spoke about different forms of listening. I'm skipping around, I'm not going in order, we don't have 48 days, but the trait or the enabler we want to speak about today is Binas Halev, the wisdoms of the heart. In the modern world, we have a dichotomy sometimes. We bifurcate between our heads and our hearts. And our heads and our minds are the seat of intellect and intellectual activity, and our hearts are the seat of emotions, spirituality, passions. Of course, this is a false compartmentalization. Throughout Tanakh, you see that intellect is associated with a person's heart. Nowhere more prominent than in the Parshios, which describe Melechas HaMishkon, we are called Chacham Lev, Asher Mi Leisiv Ruach Chachma, and that's just one pasuk amongst many. So the question is, what does the Torah intend when it associates intellectual activity with your heart? And of course, what do Chazal mean when they incorporate it as one of the 48 tools or facilitators of Talmud Torah? So there really are three things to think about. Number one, Binas Halev, the lave, as the catalyst for intellectual activity. Rav Lichtenstein once told me, it was his yard site 2 days ago, that if you don't understand a Tosfos, or you don't remember a Tosfos, that's not an intellectual limitation. That's a moral flaw. Because we remember and we understand issues important to us, and we forget or we don't make efforts to understand information less important to us. You don't forget your birthday. You don't forget your parents' anniversary day. You don't forget sports scores or statistics that are important. So evidently, emotions, interests, caring about something is a precursor and a catalyst both to understanding as well as to retaining. So the level of emotional interest that stems from the heart that you care about Torah will affect how much Torah you truly understand. And of course, I'm old enough to have seen this. I've seen a lot of bright people in my day who just don't care that much about Torah, and their accomplishments in Torah tend to be capped. I've seen a lot of people who aren't brilliant IQ, but their level of interest and commitment and, of course, exertion of energy and sacrifice for Talmud Torah yields the types of output that brighter people are incapable of. So Binas Halev means how interested are you in Torah? That will determine how much Torah you acquire. But the second thing to think about is not just as the precursor or the enabler of Talmud Torah, but the setting within which Torah is anchored. There are different levels of comprehension, and sometimes you just comprehend at a very, very shallow or external level, and sometimes you really try to internalize information. So, for example, one day you're all going to be studying for a certain profession, those of you who will choose those types of professional pursuits. And I assume it's not just the interest in studying that will stem from your heart because you want to be a doctor, and therefore you know you really have to study it. But you'll try to anchor it deeply into your visceral identity. That's what we're trying so hard in yeshiva. Some boys in yeshiva just come. It's very intellectual. It's very, very external. They're learning. They're processing. They're showing up to Seder. But there's a shield. There's a barrier between the mind and the heart. And how do you take information and wed it and fuse it to your identity, to this is who I am, this is how I define myself, this is something that's deep-seated. So it's not just passion and emotion that's the trigger point for intellectual activity in Torah, but it's also the host and the compartment that ultimately you want to insert Torah into, and that Torah should become part of your definition that you feel. In fact, in some versions of Pirkei Avos, there are actually two traits. One is Binas Halev, one is Sichlus Halev. It's a very interesting contrast, Seichel of the Lev. Almost to the point where Torah becomes intuitive, where you're living Torah, where with trigger points and catalysts in your day are associated with your Torah. I guess the best way to phrase it to many boys that come into yeshiva sports is very, very deeply, viscerally integrated to your identity. When your team loses, you feel sad. When your team wins, you feel happy. And Torah lesson, can you transform and invert that process when you're in yeshiva to watch sports and to enjoy it, but not to be as emotionally invested in it, but to really feel Torah at the depths of your conscious and subconscious? Has anyone ever dreamed Torah this year? That's typically a sign that you're wedding Torah to something deeper than just your mind. So Bina Salev is not just the desire, it's also the association between Torah and a deeper level of identity. The third part is, of course, we have to study Torah as living human beings. Angels don't have a lathe. So for them, they're totally briskers, as we would say. For them, every sugya is abstract, every sugya is the same, and it doesn't make a difference whether they live in 2018 or 1818, whether they live in this community or that kid. So the set of ideas and associations you bring to Torah is like a computer, is abstract. But we're living human beings, and you want to bring the wealth of your experience to every sugya. Those of you who are in my shiur this year, I tried to do that, to show you that the Torah that I'm trying to study is different because of who I am, for better or for worse, and where I've lived and my experiences. And I want to try to find the connectors between what I've experienced as a human being and the sugya I'm learning, even if it's cultural experiences, because we all live through culture. So you want to try to integrate your Torah into a real human context, rather than just learning it from a detached, abstract perspective, as if you're just some computer processing data and processing information. So those are three things to think about in the context of Binas HaLev. The desire should compel and drive the process. The emotional world should be the area that Torah should infiltrate and percolate to. And finally, because you have a lev in your human being, you should try. And I'm not sure this message is sufficiently understood. I think people sometimes compartmentalize their Torah because it's kadosh and it's something different. When I'm listening to music, when I'm reading books, when I'm living my life, that's not part of my Torah. It is. Because if you want that second part, that Torah should be wedded to who you are as a person, you have to try to associate what you're learning with your experiences, and not just in the direct sense. I'm learning a sugya of, what are we learning now of tzitzis? How does it experience my tzitzis? But what do colors mean? What does white mean? What does blue mean? What do I imagine when I see fringes? When I see an article of clothing and the strings coming from clothing, where have I seen that before? Let's say you're into fashion, or you're into, colors or art, or how do you create those associations so that the second part, Torah, becomes part of your subconscious, not just something in a shell somewhere distant from who you are at your deepest levels of identity. Okay? Have a great day, everyone. Binas HaLev. Binas HaLev.